So I'm going through the book of Hebrews, and today I wanted to look at what I used to do is I go a certain passage and then I continue to the next passage. But for the last some chapters, there's been some places where I take a bigger chunk, and today is again one of those times. There's a few reasons for it. It wouldn't be bad to go into each of these situations and dig into what they are. It would be a good thing to do, but I didn't feel like that was the thing to do now. And so what I decided that I wanted to take out from here, what I saw here as a, we could say as a big picture, is faith demonstrated in many different ways. And I think it's a good subject to look into, because for me, it's encouraging to see that while the other person looks like he has a lot more faith than me, but that once a person has faith, it's valid. It's valid faith. Once there's true faith, then it's valid. It doesn't matter if you're one that has great faith and someone else is one who doesn't have as great faith, or and so on, right? What I mean with that is just that people will have different faith by design, we could say. God has planned it that way. There's not something wrong. Today, there are some people who want to make it look like, well, if you don't have as much faith as I think you should have, then you're wrong. If you don't have that type of faith that I think you should have, then that's why you're sick, that's why you have problems, and so on. But that's not biblical. So we want to look at, I've made this a title here, The Gift of Faith Demonstrated in Various Ways. So the gift, because faith is not something that we have by ourselves. And again, that's one of the false teachings today is, well, you're sick because you don't have enough faith. You need to have more faith. Bring up that faith. Well, then it would be our own thing. If we could somehow say, oh, let me just crank up the volume of my faith. Let me just open the faucet a little bit more and so I have some more faith. Well, the problem is we don't have the faucet to our faith. God does. Now, the Bible writes and tells us about God. And the Bible tells us about means that God uses. And sometimes people will mix up what the means are and what the end of that means is. And what I mean with that is I'll give you an example. It says in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How will someone hear unless there's a preacher sent to preach the gospel? So how does someone get saved? How does someone get faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then it says, but you need to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. So which one is it? Is it by the word that you receive faith, or is it by yourself? Because you have to believe. Well, they're both right. It comes by the word, but then you believe. Believe. It's like when God came into my life and I saw the terrible state of where I was in my sin, I said, Lord, I believe. Please save me. It wasn't because finally I had worked it up to that degree that now I could believe. It was finally God had brought me to that place where I saw my sin and I saw that, oh, I need to believe in Jesus. And so, it is a gift. Faith is a gift. Philippians 1 verse 29 says that it is given to us on behalf of Christ that we believe on Him. It is given. It is not something that God looks down and says, I'll see who all finds faith. No, God is the one who works that in us. Hebrews 12, the next chapter from what we're looking at today, actually says in verse 2 that Jesus is the author of our faith. Not only the author, but also the finisher. Jesus is the one who creates that faith in us, and Jesus is the one who completes it, that we will persevere to the end with that faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 also says that it's a gift. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There are some who take those verses and say, yeah, but the gift is only salvation. The faith is from yourself. Well, look at it very closely. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." So which one is not of yourselves? Well, that you're saved, right? That you're saved is not of yourselves. How are you saved? Through faith. But then it says, "and that not of yourselves." Some would say that, oh, but that through faith is not, that is by yourself. Well, it's not. It is by God's grace that someone is saved. It is not of ourselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It says it two times. It says, not of yourselves, and then it says, not of works. So it puts it two different ways. It makes it very clear that our faith is a gift. It's not something that we bring out from our flesh in some way. And then going into what is faith for different people, because faith is shown in many different ways. In Romans 12 verse 3 is again a verse that is very often used out of context. But Paul writes in Romans, and he says in Romans 12 verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." There are some who say that, well, it says that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. I've heard this passage used to say that every person in the world has faith. They just need to activate it. Or a little different way, someone has said, every person in the world has faith, but they need to see it, and they need to want to use it. But that's a problem, because then the Bible also says that not all men have faith. But if you look at the context here in Romans 12, he says, "I'm writing to you, every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." He makes it clear in Romans that he's writing to the believers. And so when he says, "to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Well, then all of a sudden we see that, oh, there's a limit there. Just like John 3, some people would take the verse and say, well, for God so loved the world. And it's kind of like it all ends right there. But then it says that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sure, God loves the world, and he gave his Son so that whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. So there's a limit there. There's always a limit in Scripture. God's love is not a universal love, or His salvation is not universal, where everyone in the world will be saved and God loves everyone equally. Then Romans 9 would be false, where it says that God raised up Pharaoh for the purpose to make His power known. God raised up Pharaoh for the purpose to make His power known. Then it would be false, that verse in Romans 9, if it was true that, well, God has the same type of love for everyone and the same type of feelings or the same type of plan, or salvation is already planned for everyone, and if you don't get it, then it's your problem. Well, to one sense we would say, don't waste your life, don't go and live for your flesh, but seek God, because the Bible promises and says, if you seek God with all your heart, you will find Him. So we don't want to say that, oh no, all you need to do is go and live your life away, and then one day God will come to you. He might, or He might not. The Bible calls each one of us to seek Him while we have breath. And so, this faith is not something that everyone has, unbelievers included, because if someone has faith in God, then they're saved. We'll still look at James, because in James it also speaks of a dead faith, which is not faith in Christ. It's different. Faith, as we saw in the beginning of Hebrews 11, which is in verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It tells us what faith is. We have something in our heart that tells us we know something will come to pass. We know something is true. Faith is that substance, that evidence in our heart. It doesn't give us a measurement. It doesn't tell us, oh, faith tells you that a lion will come in here, but God will shut the lion's mouth. Well, I'm using that example because we have later in Hebrews 11 that I still want to look at a few examples here. It has that in verse 33 that the mouth of lions were stopped. So faith does do that, but not for everyone. Faith is not does not affect everyone in the same way. It does not work in everyone the same way. However, faith is always from the same place, and that is from God. It is not you have one type of faith and I have another type of faith, but we're all going to heaven. It's not that, yeah, you believe in Muhammad and I believe in Jesus, we both have faith, so we're both going to heaven. No, faith, biblical faith, is a belief in Jesus, that He died for our sins and was raised again, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, to believe in Him. James 2, I want to look at James 2 a little bit. That's kind of giving an overview of faith, and then I want to look at some examples in Hebrews 11 yet. But James 2 is a good demonstration of what true faith is and what is not faith by showing us the extremes. Abraham offering up Isaac, which I've looked at in one message here that I think is one of the biggest examples of the work of faith, what faith actually does. Abraham offering up Isaac, so that's one extreme. And then it contrasts that with the other extreme, that the devil also believes in God. And that is not true faith. It is just a head knowledge, we could say. So in James chapter 2, it says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Or in other words, if we would say this in a different way, do not see how faith and works were together, and by works was his faith demonstrated to be true, was demonstrated to be real? That's what it was. And then verse 23 says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So that we could say was one extreme, that is true faith. The other extreme we see in verse 19. The writer says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. He's not saying here that the devil has faith in God. He says, you believe there is one God. The devil also believes this. The devil believes a lot of things about God. Today, there are so many people who, if you talk about the gospel, you talk about Jesus, they'll say, oh, I believe in God. Or they'll say, yo, I'm a Christian. If we look at this here, the devil spoke to Jesus in such a way as if, oh, you could jump down from the temple. Oh, you could turn these stones into bread and just please your own flesh. Satan, we could say, became religious and quoted verses to Jesus and said, here, look, God himself said that he will bring his angels to watch out for you that your foot won't even get hurt on a stone. And Jesus just said, you should not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus used the verses in context. Satan did not. Well, what I want to show you with that is true faith has good works. True faith is different from just a belief in God. Just a belief in God is not true faith. We also see there are different measures of faith. Well, by Romans 12 verse 3, that God has dealt a different measure of faith to everyone, to the believers. James 2 verse 5 says, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? So to be rich in faith is different from to just have a little bit of faith. But Jesus himself also used the example of a little bit of faith. He said, if you have the faith, the amount of a mustard seed, a very tiny little bit, then you can do anything. You can move the mountains. That's what he literally said. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed. I want to look a little bit at 1 Corinthians 12. Because I think it is similar, the gifts that believers receive from God. And 1 Corinthians 12 shows us a little bit about the different gifts that God gives to believers. It says in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Alright, so I'll read a few more verses. But that, in short, is giving us a summary of what he's about to say. God, in his providence, in his plan, in his ordaining things, has given different gifts, but all by his Spirit. They're applied in a person's life in different ways, different administrations. They're working in different ways. Diversities of operations. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. It's speaking about believers receiving gifts from God. And then it says, one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I'm mentioning these things because even these things seem like different sizes of things. What I mean with that is, if someone worked miracles, you would say that, well, they have a great power from God to do things. Now, if someone else has a discerning spirit, discerning of spirits. He is a discerning person. You won't see that as such a big thing necessarily. Speaking in tongues or interpreting tongues. Now, I believe some of these have, like tongues, has ceased. But regardless, even if it was back in the book of Acts or if it is now, we see those as different things. God has called some to preach and He has called some to sweep the floor. It is not because there one is more important than the other, but solely because God has given them different jobs that God wants them to do for His own purpose and for His own glory. It's not because of us, but it's because of Him. He wants to use us in different ways. The body is used as a example later in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. The body is not one member. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Think about all the different parts of your body. Your head, your nose, your ear, your fingers, your feet, your legs. It says that the church and Christ's believers are like the body. So not everyone will stick out like the others. Not everyone will be visible like the other. Some will work in the background and some, you can't see your heart, but if you're sitting here alive, you have one. And it's working there. In the same way, some believers, you won't really see much about how they're a believer, but behind the scenes, they'll be working for God. I'm not talking about someone who's not working for God, but someone may be working for God and you don't see much of it because there are many different parts in the body. So this faith comes in so many different colors, so many different places and ways. I'm first kind of going into the practical of it, and then I still want to go back to Hebrews 11, but in the book of James, for example, again, James is a very practical book for a Christian. It tells us what should a Christian do, but also what would a Christian do. We looked to the extremes in James chapter 2 of Abraham, because of his faith, was willing to offer up Isaac, his own son, his only son. And then how Satan believes that there is one God, and yet that's not true faith. But then it goes into chapter 3 and talks about the tongue and saying how much damage a tongue can do. It's bringing that out because if you're not a believer and you just, well, either way, if you speak carelessly, if you speak careless words, that can be very damaging to someone else. If you speak evil, if you speak dirty, it can be damaging to someone else. So James chapter 3 talks about that and how much damage a tongue can do. And after he's talked about that, he essentially brings it back to faith. James chapter 3, verse 11. Verse 10, he says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, or a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So if you say you're a believer, but your tongue is speaking evil, dirty words, well, why do you pretend that you're a believer? We could say. Now, I'm not saying that a believer won't mess up somewhere here or there, but this is speaking of a lifestyle. You cannot be having this as your lifestyle, that you always live this way, because he says, is it possible that the fountain of water that has good water will have both? It will have sweet water and bitter water. And he says, no. And it's because true faith will have true works. Faith is given to us in God's way, in God's timing, and in God's providence. While we go through these examples, I want you to think about that. It is in God's way, God's timing, and in God's providence. And I'm saying that because sometimes we're very short-sighted. Oh, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den and God shut the lion's mouth. So that means I gotta go find a lion today that God can protect me from. No. That specific place and what happened was God's way, it was in God's timing, and it was in God's providence, so that every other person around could see that God was with Daniel and he was the true God. Sometimes we feel like, well, we need to do something now so that people will know that, well, God is a big God. Well, God's timing is not like our timing. First of all, if we have faith in Christ, we're okay and we're going to be okay. If we have faith in Christ, we're already saved. And then after that, there will be occasions where we need faith to do something because we can't see the other side. Sometimes we talk about a tunnel and we cannot even see the light at the end of the tunnel yet. Well, that takes faith. God wants you to do something. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. You don't know how you're going to survive. You don't know how things are going to be. But you know this is what God wants for you. To just go and do it, that takes real faith. And that's the examples that I'll look at here yet. We also see just real life examples, because the Bible gives us everything, that even people of faith, people who have faith in Christ, do not always have faith in every situation. Think about Peter. When Peter walked on the water, he had faith. Jesus said, come, and he had faith in Christ that, yeah, he could do it because Jesus said, come. And then he went, and he began seeing the waves and the storm, and maybe like we look today and see the dark clouds coming, and it looks dark, and it looks sad, and how am I going to get through this? His faith was all of a sudden gone. That doesn't mean he didn't have faith in Christ for his salvation. He did. But in that moment, he let the fears of this world overtake him. And he lacked faith. We also see that when the disciples were on the lake, and there was a very rough storm, and Jesus was sleeping. Luke 8, verse 24 and 25. The disciples came to him in the boat. They were in the boat. And awoke him and said, Master, Master, we perish. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So the disciples did not have the same amount of faith everywhere, even though they had faith in Christ. But here Jesus had to ask them, where is your faith? Why did you not trust me? Even though Jesus was sleeping, he was still their provider, their sustainer, their protector. He always was. The other time when they went out and the disciples had forgotten to take bread, Jesus said, have you forgotten that I am your provider? That's basically what he said. Have you forgotten that I fed 4,000 and then I fed 5,000? And now you're worrying about the bread that you forgot to take? That's where it takes faith to believe in Christ, because he is our provider. He is our protector. He is our shield. He is our guide. He is our everything. If we are a believer, he is also for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's look in some examples here in Hebrews 11. I want to bring out that picture a little bit more of what does faith look like? And how can we see it in so many different ways? Some of the things that are mentioned here in Hebrews 11 sound very simple. In verse 4, it says that Abel offered by faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So God said, offer a sacrifice, and Abel offered a sacrifice. That sounds very simple, right? What do you have to lose with offering up a sacrifice to God? Verse 5 says that by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Might be a little bigger thing. He was taken, but it says he was taken up because he had this testimony that he pleased God. It was by faith that Enoch pleased God, and then also that he was taken. In verse 11, it says that through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Well, the Bible says that she was already too old to have children, but then God said, you're going to have children. So what is the big deal then with conceiving if God has said so, right? And yet, in one sense, it seems simple, but it says it was by faith. It even says in verse 21 that by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. He did that by faith. Verse 20 says that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau by faith. So those things seem simple, and yet they saw something that was to come that they did not yet have. For example, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He blessed them concerning things to come because he knew what God has promised was going to come. And yet, like I said, it kind of seems simple. Isaac was going to die. God is God, and he can do whatever he wants after I die, and that's fine. What's so hard about that, right? Jesus often said, your faith has made you well. He said it multiple times when he healed someone. He said, your faith has made you well. What did the person do to it? Well, they simply believed that Jesus could do it, and he did. Not everyone had faith. I don't believe that everyone had faith whom Jesus healed. But many times he said, your faith has made you whole. Now, these things might seem a little bit bigger. Like Abraham going out, having no idea where he would be going. In verse 4, we have about that. Abraham went out not knowing where he went. It's not in verse 4. I put a wrong verse here. It's actually in verse 8. He went out not knowing whither he went. Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. Well, we could have said that, well, you would just do that anyway as a human being, right? You have a child and you know someone wants to kill your child. Well, just hide. Well, they did it in faith because they believed God. They did it in faith because they believed there was something about Moses that was different. And it was. Moses himself refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That also seems like a little bigger thing. Or Noah building an ark. There are some arguments for, and I kind of agree, it seems like it's true, that at that time Noah had never seen rain. Now, I won't dogmatically say it. Maybe he did. But they had dew. They had the dew watering the garden. But one of the things why I think that there had been no rain up to that time, because there was no rainbow before that time. We know that. God said that I will set a bow in the cloud. God could have created a rainbow just like he created everything else. But it was something new. They hadn't seen a rainbow before. And I think they hadn't seen rain before. So it seems like a big thing that Noah, having never seen rain, being far out, not close to the sea, and God tells him, build a boat, and he just builds it. That seems like a big thing. Israel passed through the Red Sea. How much faith would that take? Well, first of all, they were right at the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were coming, and they were thinking, oh, they're going to kill us. there was a hill on the right side, there was a hill on the left side, and the Egyptians were behind them. And the Red Sea was in front of them. But it says, they passed through the, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 29. It is a big thing. Well, first of all, that there is a path, dry path through is a big thing. It's like, oh, how would I dare to step in? And then how would I dare to go through? What if somebody touches the water and it comes crashing down or something, right? It takes faith in God to know that God is doing this for us. God has a purpose in it. And they walk through as on dry land. It says in verse 30 that the walls of Jericho fell down. And it also was by faith. Verse 31 talks about Rahab receiving the spies with peace. She was different from everyone else because she believed. She believed God was going to do this. She believed God. And then she obeyed God. She was willing to put her own life at risk because her neighbors could have killed her for taking in spies. It was a dangerous thing to do. Peter walking on water seems like it would take a lot of faith. But then we have the examples here of Abraham offering up Isaac, which I think is a very big thing. You have to offer up your own child. Or verse 33, where it goes on to other things that people of faith had done, and it says they stopped the mouths of lions. Thinking of Daniel. He was thrown into the lion's den, and yet they didn't eat him. They didn't even hurt him. They quenched the violence of fire by faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into the fire, and yet nothing happened to them. That was by faith. The king said, we're going to destroy you in the fire. And they said, whatever you have to do. If you notice in all those stories, there wasn't four Christians there, and two of them said, I'm going to go dare God and see how much I can get away with. I'm going to go dare God and throw myself into the fire and have a lot of faith in God. It's not what faith is. Faith is to trust God in your circumstance. Right now. Your circumstance right now. It's not about, oh, I want to do something big for God. No. If God wants you to do something big for Him, He'll bring that right to you. He won't make you go look for something big. He will bring it into your life. He will bring that as a circumstance into your life. That's what happened every time here. God told Abraham, go. And in faith he went. God told Noah, build an ark. And in faith he built an ark. In the circumstances, Daniel was praying to God and they made it illegal. And he said, I'm not going to stop. I have to continue praying to God. God is my life. So in faith, he trusted God. That circumstance was brought to him. He would have to change his life and become disobedient to God if he wanted to avoid that persecution. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were living their life and then they were brought into a situation where if they stood up and did not bow down to the idol, they'd be thrown into the fire and burned. They'd be destroyed. Yet what happened? By faith, they quenched the violence of fire. They were not burned up because they had faith in God in that situation. They did not know 100% certain. They said, even if God takes us, even if we die, we're not going to bow down to the idol because we are faithful to God. That situation was brought to them. Verse 34, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Again, if someone comes to fight you, and we've even seen this in history, the minority can win against the majority. Think about Gideon, which is also mentioned here, by the way, and his 300 people And they won against 10,000s of people because they had faith in God and they followed God in faith. They obeyed God in faith. And because they had faith in God, God brought them through it and God gave them victory. God gave them success. The places where we see that people did not have success is where they did not have success, where they did not win, was when they forgot God and they went into sin and then they tolerated it. They said, yeah, like not everyone was living in the same sins, but then they were tolerating it. It's like, oh, that's okay. That's what people want us to do today. They come up with homosexuality, and in the US they have this big thing with drag queens and stuff that is very wicked and evil. And well, even if you don't go, but at least you have to tolerate it. You have to be okay with it. And that's where we would compromise, when we would say, okay, yeah, I'm not going to be there, but I'm just going to pretend I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to compromise. I'm not going to say anything bad about it. I'm just going to be quiet and do my own thing. Well, sometimes there's a time to be quiet, but not when you're brought into a situation where you either compromise or you stand up for what is right. Then you stand up for what is right and you trust God, and God will take care of you, like He always takes care of His children. It says in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? God always takes care of His children. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word again. Thank You for faith and that You've granted it to many that are here. And I just pray, Lord, if there's anyone who's not certain, or if there's anyone who wants to know, feels Your call, or just that You would work it in their hearts where they would see their need for Christ and their need to call on His name. And I just pray, God, that You will bless each one who's here today. You'd go with us. And You'd help us to be encouraged, knowing that our faith does not need to look like someone else's faith. But You've given us all opportunities and places and different ways of life based on what You want us to do. Help us to remain faithful in those things. And we thank You. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.